nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. When the moon is a counterfeit, better find the one that fits. Better find the one that lights the way for you. When the road is full of nails, garbage pails and darkened jails, and the tongues are full of heartless tales that drain on you. Never notice you and fade into a shaded room. It's such a selfish way to lose, the way you lose these wasted blues, these wasted blues. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own.
KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach,
Laguna's only FM, KX93.5.
This disclaimer is a statement notifying the listening audience that the opinions expressed on any public affairs show do not reflect those of KX93.5, its management, or the board of directors.
KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach,
Laguna's only FM, KX93.5.
That's absolutely right. You heard it here. KX93.5, good morning. It's, what time is it? We do this show at what time? 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
We do this show at 9 o'clock. It's time for the friendship show. That was Dawn Price. Dawn Price is back.
Good morning.
How are you?
Am I on my mic? I can't hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay. As long as you can hear me.
You're here.
Good morning.
I don't know if that matters. I can hear you.
How is everyone? It's been several weeks since I've been here.
I know. It has been.
I've missed you all.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Scott Hayes is here this morning. He's always.
I am here and I have missed everybody as well.
Oh, awesome. Did you have a nice time off?
I had a lot of traveling.
Did you?
Yeah.
You were out traveling?
Some stress, but it's all good.
It's all good. It's all under control now.
Yes.
We had some good shows while you were gone. I mean, not as good as you had been here.
I understand you did.
Who did we have? Do you remember?
I do remember, yes.
Do you want to share?
Yeah, go ahead. So I'm trying to think. I mean, we had last week,
who did we have last week?
This is where it all falls apart.
Everyone's looking at each other. What did we do last week? It was a really good show, too. It wasn't last.
Surf Riders Foundation.
Surf Riders and Marine Mammal Center.
The Marine Mammal Center. And the thing that I took away from that, Dawn, do you have any idea how many marine mammals are currently living at the Marine Mammal Center?
You know, I won't remember the number, but I actually just visited there not too long ago because I had some nieces and nephews here.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
It's 135.
Yeah, it's amazing what they're doing out there.
And who was that? It was Keith Matassa is the new executive director there.
Yeah.
Last year, they did a total of 63 or 64 rescues.
They're already like lapping themselves. Yeah.
This year already, they've done over 300.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah. He was a really interesting guy.
And they don't, when I was there last, maybe they answered this question last week because I was on a plane and couldn't listen. When I was there last, they didn't really know why that was. There wasn't a theory yet.
Because moms are abandoning their babies.
Oh.
That's the theory that they're circling around, and they're trying to figure out why that is. Uh-huh. And they think it has to do with the food source, that the food source is not available. So the moms are leaving.
To
at
go
a time when
longer
they
to get food. Yeah, yeah.
Get
that's right. They did tell us that was a working theory. So
and by the time they get back, the babies
are
too sick. It's very interesting. Yeah. This morning, we're celebrating Father's Day here on the Friendship Show.
That's wonderful.
I know it. I'm not a father. Are you a father?
No, I'm not.
But you're kind of like a stepfather, aren't you?
How so? I have a nephew.
You have a nephew?
Sure.
But don't you have an adult child with your with your current?
Well, my wife has an adult child, but I don't call that stepfathering, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
We relate on a different level.
If you, oh, do you?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. See, I was just trying to figure out a way to get you a card tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, we're going to celebrate Father's Day with Miracles for Families.
Yeah.
Maria Crockett is here this morning. She's a returning guest.
She is.
And I believe she's our first returning guest.
Wonderful, yeah. She was a great first guest. She's going to be a great second guest.
I know it, yeah. So I'm not in charge of music this morning. Who is?
Megan.
Oh, Megan is. But Dawn, I think, is the
oh.
You know what I did
queen.
Yesterday? I went online and looked and Googled Father's Day music, not expecting, you know, who's going to give me some good music for Father's Day. Every music site and many that aren't music sites had a playlist for Father's Day. It was so interesting to go through and see what people think about when they think of Father's Day. But I found three of these I did not know prior to yesterday. So this first one is Creed with Arms Wide Open. And the guy who wrote this song wrote it the day he found out he was going to be a father.
Wow.
Awesome. We'll be back at the Friendship Show. Stick around.
Well, I just heard the news today. It seems my life is gonna change. I'll close my eyes, begin to pray. Then tears of joy stream down my face. We're alive.
Welcome back, KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM. We're celebrating Father's Day here on the Friendship Show. So we're going to do something groundbreaking here on the show, and that is we're going to open up the phone lines.
Oh, my.
And
oh my.
If any time during the course of the show someone wants to actually call in to the Friendship Show to wish their father a happy Father's Day, we're going to let you do that on air.
You know what I think would be amazing about that?
Of course, one of us would have to know the phone number.
Well, can you give that? Yeah, we have to give that phone number over the air.
Wait a minute. I'm getting it now. I can't read it. I don't know.
949. And then what?
715 KXFM. What are the numbers there, Megan?
5936.
Okay, so 949-715-5936. Call us here on the Friendship Show if you want to wish your father a happy Father's Day.
What would be truly amazing about that would be that both the caller and the father would have to be listening to our show, which would be worlds would collide.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's groundbreaking. Cool. This is a groundbreaking program. All right. We'll see how that goes.
May I introduce our guest?
Would you please?
Well, we mentioned earlier that we have Maria Crockett here today. She's rapidly becoming one of my favorite people in Orange County. She is an interpersonal relationship and communication expert, and she holds workshops, and she's done these for us at Friendship Shelter with our residents, but all over the county with all different kinds of people, from our homeless clients to very successful business people, church groups, community groups, working with people on communication skills, relationship skills, a variety of certifications and trainings that she holds. I'm interested, Maria. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
What interests me about Maria is that she was raised in the same town as my husband in Fort Worth, Texas.
I know. Pretty cool.
And started out in law. Right?
Yes.
Law and then oil and gas, because you're a good Texas girl. And that's what every good Texas girl does if she wants to be successful. She works in oil and gas for a while.
I know, and that's for $15,000 over the phone.
Wow.
In 15 minutes.
Wow. And then moved to the, tell us about the Relationship Research Foundation. How'd you end up there?
Craigslist, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was looking to see what I was going to do when I grew up, mm-hmm. because I didn't want to be in the legal field anymore. Uh-huh. So I tried what my husband's field was, which was the aftermarket automotive industry. Mm-hmm. And me selling bumpers, not so much.
Not so much.
So then I went and tried
to find... No passion there.
Yeah, no. Not for me. I mean, I know for other, you know, yeah, especially Father's Day.
Of course, yes.
You know, that's... But yeah. So I went and I found this job and I thought, oh my gosh, if it was the perfect job, this would be it. Mm-hmm. So I went and plead my case with the executive director, and she's like, you're overqualified, da-da-da-da, and I was just like, I'll do anything. So, you know, they took me on board. My passion just kept getting better, you know, stronger and stronger, mm-hmm. because relationship education is just so amazing. I mean, it really changes lives to no end.
Absolutely. We've seen that happen at the shelter with some of our clients. I have the privilege of sitting, my office shares a wall with our common room. So every once in a while, I'll hear little snippets of Maria's workshops. And it's just fascinating to hear people change and hear people really respond. And the other thing I really have grown to admire about you, Maria, is that you you build into your workshops celebrations and graduations and milestones so that people can celebrate what mm-hmm. they've learned. And I think that's important, too.
You know, and I've learned that because what I've learned about all of us humans is that there's a power of significance, that, you know, that we can do all this work. But if, especially if we're, you know, those of us that are broken, that if mm-hmm. nobody recognizes us for the hard work, because changing ourselves is really, a lot of work.
Incredible work. Yeah.
So, you know, for me, you know, it's been a privilege, actually, because I kind of cheat because I get to do this, because I get to experience life, you know, mm-hmm. changing right before my eyes. And it's just, you know, I'm just lucky.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think that's a good segue to our topic today, because when we talk about people who enter the world as adults broken, those family relationships can be a big part of what was missing for them when they were growing up. Talk to us a little bit about the significance of fathers in family life.
Oh my gosh, the significance of fathers. You know, we can look at it two ways. The one way is the amazing power that they have. You know, and I'll tell you my story with my dad. My mom had me when she was 14, 15 years old. She was married, then remarried, married my now current dad, who adopted me when I was 14. And coming out of a kind of a crazy background, I took it out all on my poor dad, who adopted me when he was 48 years old. So I would just say atrocious things to him, and all he would do is like, "Well, I love you." And any time I would say something, he would be like, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And the more that he said that, the more angry I would get. But what was amazing about that is that throughout the years, that really made an impact on me, that he was just there. Even though I was being rebellious and I was being defiant, he just stuck around. And when dads do that, you know, one of the things that inspires me is that my dad stood there with me. Even though I was unlovable, or, you know, or I perceived myself that I was unlovable at the time, he, you know, that memory always stays that, you know, he just loved me even though.
Isn't that so true when we're acting out as children in particular, but even adults as well? Often when we're acting out, it's because we feel the worst about ourselves.
Yes.
And we see ourselves as unlovable, and it's almost a defense thing. Well, I'll act out, and then therefore I'll just prove to you that I'm unlovable, and you won't have to discover it on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Maria, you said that even though when your father would say, "I love you, I love you," you said it would make you more angry.
Oh, yes.
Have you had, now that you're older, have you had a chance to reflect and figure out why that made you more angry at the time?
No, actually, that's a great question. Why do you think that?
I have no idea. I wouldn't.
No, I've talked to a lot of therapists, but it's just one of those things that, you know, I think, you know, one, through life coaching, not therapy or counseling, but through life coaching, what I have learned is that hurt people. So I came from a lot of, you know, like we were talking about, a lot of brokenness, and the only thing I knew what to do and how to do it was to hurt, because other people had hurt me. So this is, you know, this is what hurt people do.
What do you think are the big challenges for fathers in families in this day and age?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because we're talking about significance. I think, you know, from what other experts say and what I've experienced myself is this, that we don't give dads the significance that they deserve. They, you know, the fact that my dad did all that work, and, you know, on Father's Day, there's not as much as, you know, parties and, you know, emotion about Father's Day when you, in comparison to Mother's Day, and the role of dads that they play as, you know, just tumbling around or being rough with the kids. Sometimes they get pushed aside like, "Oh no, that's not right, that's not proper," but that's so significant on the development of kids and then later on as adults.
When you're working with families, do you find, what is the most difficult relationship in a family between a father? Is it between sons, is it between daughters, or is there no delineation between those two?
There's no discrimination.
Really?
No, I don't think so. Not that I've experienced, you know. And again, I come more from the perspective of life coaching specializing in relationships. You know, a therapist or a counselor might say differently, but in what I've experienced, I don't see a difference.
So if a family comes to you and says, there's something wrong with our family, it's not working the way that we would like it to work, and the father says, "I'm having difficulty in my family relationships," what do you do?
Oh, that would be awesome if they actually said, "I'm having difficulty."
They could skip the first five sessions if they did.
Yes.
That Mark.
They would come to graduation.
Oh, we would graduate at that point. I get it. So a family comes to you, and then how do you work with fathers and their families?
Normally when anybody comes to me, especially parents and fathers, they always say, you know, "She's the problem, he's the problem. Can you fix my teenager? Can you fix my, you know, 13-year-old? Can you fix? And my answer is usually yes. You know, come to my workshop and we'll work together and I'll show you how. And then I'll show the individual themselves how to change.
So it's not about, what would make my life easier is, of course, if everyone else would change. Although I'm completely convinced that's true in my life.
For you it is.
If people would just do what I tell them to do, things would go so much smoother. So it's more about if there's problems in a family, if you're having relationships between fathers and children or fathers and spouses, mm-hmm. or whatever that is, it's more about looking inward and
yes.
saying, what am I doing to perpetuate this relationship?
Well, if everybody can point their finger, when you point your finger and you're pointing it at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at you. So if you're pointing at somebody else and you're saying it's his fault, it's her fault, then three fingers are pointing back at us. And it's really looking at us as to, okay, what is my part? You know, how can I take 100% responsibility? Even though, like with my dad could have said, you know what, this is not even my own child. Her mother can deal with her, and he could have stepped aside. But instead, he took the role of a real dad. And, you know, to this day, I'm like, why did you put up with me? And he says, I was planting seeds, you know, because I knew one day they would grow. Took a few years, but they grew.
It is one of the things that we talked about early on when you were doing workshops at Friendship Shelter, was when we were talking about relationships outside, relationships with employers, relationships with families. The first relationship that we chose to focus on was your relationship with yourself. And if I can be at peace with myself, then I can be at peace with the people around me. Families without fathers is epidemic in America. Is that true?
It is.
And so there are lots of families that are trying to make it work without a father in the mm-hmm. family. What's the consequence of that? How does that work? First of all, what is the consequence of not having a father in the family? Mm-hmm. And families that don't have fathers, is there hope for them?
Yes. Yes and yes. The downside or the side effect of not having a father figure in a child's life is the fact that, you know, when we look around in society and economy and the community, it affects all of us. It's not just a them issue. It's affecting you, me, and everybody else. There is I forget the actual amount, but it's $112 billion that are spent on family fragmentation, and a lot of it has to do, because as taxpayers are paying extra money because of child welfare, because children go into poverty, because there's children going into crime early in their youth, having children out of wedlock. I mean, it's the impact that a father has in a child's life just by being present. You know, we're not talking about anything significant, about, you know, making a huge significance, but just being present. You know, the fact that my father was there, that made a significant impact, even though now I'm 41 years old, I'm still carrying that with me.
And is that true of fathers who don't live with the family? As long as you're present in some way and saying, I'm going to take an active role in raising my children, is that significant?
It's significant, obviously. You know, and I'm sure people will disagree with this, but there is enough studies to show that the role of a father is much better when you have the two together. However, if that's not a possibility, fathers can still be very active even when they're not in the same home, but play an important role.
I really like that as part of your education that you talk about the economic impact of what did you call it? Defragmentation.
Yes, family fragmentation.
And what that really costs society in dollars and cents.
Oh, it's huge.
When I was doing some research, and I think it was actually a video that was on your website, there was some video that was talking about the effects of not having a father in the family, and mm-hmm. it was astounding. It was something like 64% of, and I'm just making this up probably now, but there's children that start fires. It's like 60-some% of those children don't have fathers. Mm-hmm. And children who enter into the justice system before the age of 16, the overwhelming mm-hmm. majority of them don't have fathers. And so mm-hmm. it does have a huge social and economic impact.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's
fascinating.
It's tremendous, you know, when you look at child abuse, when you look at domestic violence, because all of a sudden when there's not the direct, the biological father, typically, not in my case, but when you don't have that biological, you know, connection, then people are not going to have the same, they're not going to care the same. You know, to make sure that not only the children are taken care of, but the spouse, the wife, is taken care of. So people end up experiencing a lot more domestic violence, child abuse, and it just mm-hmm. I mean, the side effect of not having fathers present, it really affects all of us. You know, in with the economy and with our society.
So for families, for whatever reason, do not have a father present, but how can you help them?
Hire one. Well, you know, you ask an excellent question, because one of the things that we do when we celebrate dads is that we're not only celebrating dads, we're also celebrating father role models. You know, so there's people that, in my case, you know, for my dad adopted me, for other people, they may, you know, like the Boys and Girls Clubs, it might be one of the mentors, it might be one of the volunteers, it might be the pastor.
It might be an uncle, it might be a neighbor.
Yes, yeah. So as long as there's a father figure, it's also it also plays a significant role, because it's just, you guys know, we're different. You know, women play a completely different role than men do. And what you bring into the table for a child is very significant, that we can try as women to provide that, but it's just not there.
I would have to say that, like, in a different part of my career, I used to work a lot with children who, for whatever reason, are separated from their family, maybe permanently, maybe just temporarily. And really, that's what my job was, is it's like, you just try to be a good male figure in front of this young man or this young woman and hope that it makes an impact. And I would say my experience is that it does. And it's not like I'm any sort of great person by any stretch of the imagination.
But you are a great person.
But just the presence of having someone there and saying, yes, I know you did all of these things today that you shouldn't have done, and I'm still going to make dinner for you, and we're still going to sit down, and we're still going to talk about the day and all those sorts of things. It has a huge, huge impact on young people.
I think in a really odd way, it's the role that we always talk at Friendship Shelter, that, you know, the difference between the clients that end up at our door and other people who struggle with addiction and mental illness often is that there's not a family unit that's healthy enough and ready enough to be their support system. They may have burned that bridge, or that may never have been in place for them. And so we kind of end up working as a surrogate family. And I think it's one of the most interesting things I see is the reaction a client will have when they realize we're not going to immediately give up on them. We're not going to, there's not going to be an immediate end of our relationship when they mess up. And I think people who grow up without that steady, that father who keeps saying, I love you anyway, I love you anyway, really need to be taught that they can trust that in the world again.
I think the word abandonment gets thrown around a lot, but I think it's sort of a significant thing. And so to answer your question, why do I think it made you more angry? In my, you know, pseudo psycho experience, I would say just that, is that I think people's experience in the world is that people leave. And as long as people leave, then sort of your perception of the world stays intact. And it's a lot less pressure on you, because mm-hmm. there's no one around. As soon as someone comes along and says, I'm not leaving, I don't care what you do, it really challenges you to change the way that you view the world and the people in it. And it's a difficult thing.
Really? I hope everybody wrote notes on that.
We have some fathers waiting in the wings here to join us, correct?
Yes, today. I'm so excited
for
them.
You brought us some great fathers and their kids.
Yes.
Before we take a break, if that's where we're leading, Maria, what would you like to say to your father this Father's Day?
Oh, my goodness. He's my hero. He's utterly, by all means, my hero.
Very nice. Cool. Very nice.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and Maria's going to introduce us to some fathers and their children. All right, stick around.
Says she wants everything she wants. I see she gets. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she owns, I bought her. Everything she owns. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she knows, I taught her. Everything she knows. Everything I say, she takes to heart. Everything. she takes apart. That's my daughter in the water. Every time she fell, I caught her. Every time she fell. And that's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought her. Yeah, I lost every time. Strike somebody blind. Every time she thinks, blows her tiny mind. That's my daughter in the water. Who'd have ever thought her? Who'd have ever thought? That's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought.
Welcome back, KX93.5 FM here in Laguna Beach, California. We're celebrating Father's Day on the Friendship Show with Maria Crockett and Miracles for Families. We also have the phones open. If anyone out there wants to wish their father a happy Father's Day, give us a call, 949-715-KX-FM here on the Friendship Show. Maria, oh my gosh, the studio's full.
I know.
Do you want to introduce our guests?
Yes, we have two teams. We have father and daughter team, which is Steven Owen and Jessica Owen. And then we have Michael and BJ.
Okay, so Michael and BJ I actually know. And Jessica and Steven. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Excellent.
All right. So I guess that's the dads. Any big plans for Father's Day tomorrow?
I was already talking about doing a family paddleboard session tomorrow, so that will hopefully be fun. Try to get everyone on the paddleboards.
BJ, what are you doing tomorrow? After church?
After church, I actually have to help lead baccalaureate, but my father is down from Portland, so that's exciting for me.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Maria, one of the reasons that we wanted to have children and their, we decided not that we wouldn't call them children, that these young adults and their fathers here, is because one of the functions that I attended at Miracles for Families was this fantastic ceremony where children talked sort of honestly and openly about their relationship with their fathers and what they value about them. And we wanted to share a little of that this morning on the show. So can you tell me a little bit about that process and how does that fit into the work of Miracles for Families, of having those kinds of I don't know what you call them,
events?
Presentations,
mm-hmm.
events, yeah.
The significant, everything that we do, you know, falls back to what we were talking about earlier, the significance of a dad, the importance of having a dad or a father role model in a family. And one of the things that we do is celebrating, it's called Why My Dad Is My Hero. And yes, women, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to be celebrated for this one. But it just, I, in my opinion, you know, and from what I see, fathers are not celebrated often enough. Just for being a dad. So one of the things that Miracles does is that we go and we really, assure them that every little bit that a father does, it's noticed, and it's noticed by the most important person in their life, who's their children.
Wonderful. So let's talk to the young people. Jessica, is your dad your hero?
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Because he does everything for me.
Does he?
Yeah.
All right. Does he ever bug you?
Sometimes.
Really? All right. But you guys get through that.
Yeah.
All right. Michael, your dad is your hero?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because he's always loving and supportive of me, no matter what I do, and always helps me through the hard times.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is it? Do you have an example of that? Something that you can share with us where it's like, I really need my dad for this?
I can't think of anything specific, but I know I'm now a freshman in high school. This has been my first year of high school. It's been a big change, and he's really helped me with the change in the workloads really? And grades and whatnot.
Awesome.
Give me some really good advice.
Awesome. Let's talk to the dads. Dads, what's it like? How's it going? And how's it going out there?
It's going great. I mean, I think all in all, just to be a part, and I always try to remind myself that these times are important. Before I know it, she's going to be grown up, gone into college. So I always try to remind myself to be in the moment and try to be involved. So we definitely focus on having our family days on Sundays typically, and just being involved. So it's a blessing. It's great.
BJ, how's it going in the dad department?
It's going well. It's interesting. Every parent that I talk to, their relationship with their children is different than the relationship they had with their kids. It's a different day. I think it's much, much harder on our kids than it was for us. And there's so many things in this world that distract them and can take them down. And just to be there, to be a positive force and to see in them what they can't see in themselves because they're teenagers. You know, they're going through this hard time. And you know, I look at my son and I realize he's going to be a better man than I ever will be. And that is just such a cool realization that no matter how much I try to be a good guy, he's going to be better than me. And to help him see that in himself is just such an honor.
BJ, what do you think are the biggest challenges in being a father in the world today?
I think the biggest challenge is you have to be a parent, and so they have to understand that you are not just their friend, but you have to be a friend to them. You have to let them know that you can laugh with them and you can cry with them and you can share what your struggles are, just to let them know they're not alone. They are not the first person to go through this. They, you know, they're all going through this, and to find that balance where, you know, you can pal with them, but you can also say, hey, I'm dad and you're the kid, and there are times when, you know, we got to do it this way.
Steve, how do you find that balance between I want to be my children's friend, but at some point dad has to sort of set the pace?
For me, it's always been about doing things together and doing things where we can relate, and you know, especially living in Laguna Beach has been a big part of that. We've always had times being at the beach all day, playing together, doing things together. So just having that involvement where, to me, that kind of allows the space to where we can just hang out and lay in the sand and talk, and she feels kind of open with me to do that. And then just to try to be on that supportive role to try to listen and try to be understanding of whatever is going on in her life at the time. And then I'll kind of flip it to, okay, and then, you know, here's the lessons that I'm trying to teach you, and hopefully you understand this is why I'm doing it, and it's all for love, it's all for to build you up and allow you to go out there and conquer it and use all the gifts that she has in her. So it's just awesome to see all those things flourishing, and you see down the road the seeds growing, and so it's just great to have that full circle. That's what it's about for me.
Do you ever say no?
Yes, indeed. We have to, you know, and it's not easy because, you know, that's part of the arm wrestling match that we have to do as parents. And but again, it goes back to hopefully at least letting her know when we do say no, it's not just to say no, that there's a reason for it, and it's all for love and for a reason. And maybe she doesn't understand it at the time, but hopefully later down the road she will, especially if it's something that's really one of those head-button deals.
And does that happen? I mean, you seem to have such a great relationship with your daughter. Does that happen where it's like we're just sort of butting heads on this issue and we don't see it the same? And
absolutely. I mean, with anybody, I mean, you're going to have different views, different opinions of it. So at the end, I try to have a role to say, okay, I'm listening to you. I understand what you're telling me. Maybe you don't agree with what I'm telling you, but in the end, let's just move forward. And so hopefully it doesn't continue to be kind of a whole button heads deal with it, where we can kind of move forward and have a balance there in a medium.
Maria, what's the key in that when you're parenting a child and you see things differently and you don't agree, and how does the family get through that?
I think a lot of showing understanding. You know, what works with the parents, with the parents that I work with, is really showing understanding and a lot of times agreeing to disagree and knowing who the authority figure is. You know, knowing what each role model, I mean, each role plays, because the father, you know, the role of Jessica is different than the role of Stephen. And a lot of times we get confused on trying to be all equal. We're not all equal. So at different times in our lives, you know, to understand those power roles, that doesn't make us better or worse or right or wrong. It's just that each one of us are going to play the role, and when we play it right, it everybody wins.
Okay. Is routine important in a family? Steve was talking about the Sunday is the day that they spend that together, and what is the significance of this is our family day, or on Saturdays or on Wednesdays or whenever that is, regardless, we're going to have dinner together. How important is that to a family?
It's very significant. It really, you know, it's like Stephen was saying, it really has an impact later down in her, you know, when Jessica gets to be my age, you know, and she's in her 40s and she's, you know, she's doing life for herself, you know, all of that will play in her life as an adult.
To the two fathers in this room, what would you say would be the most significant lesson you learned from your own fathers about parenting?
I'm pointing the finger, so.
Thanks for passing that one to me first.
Pass the buck.
You know, what I learned from my father was very duty-driven. There were things that you did that you didn't want to do because the family needed it or the community needed it. They were things that if society is going to function, there are things that we have to do that we don't want to do. And I got that from my father. The other thing I got from my father was a clear sense of boundaries. And children rebel against boundaries, but once they got them, it's so much better because they know they're safe. As long as they're within these boundaries, they're okay. And what I see in this community is that there's some parents who they think, well, I'm not going to give my kids any boundaries so they can figure out who they are. And those kids are lost. And they gravitate to families. They go hang out with friends whose parents have boundaries. And there they know how to act, and they know they're safe. And that's probably the biggest thing that I learned.
For me, that's maybe a little tougher question because basically I was raised by my mother. My parents got divorced when I was in first grade. And so single mom raising myself and my sister. She took a father role in a lot of ways. And I would say, just to flip that, what I look back on is just the support that my mom always gave me. I was a musician, I was a drummer. And when she knew that that was my passion, they got me lessons and let me play my rehearsal studios and bands and all that. And you know, even when other family members or friends would talk down upon it, she was always there and always supportive. So I know that really gave me or taught me a lot to go for your passion and go for what you feel in your heart that you feel you want to be and need to be. So and then I guess to make a comment, though, about my dad and what's helped me with our relationship, even though it's somewhat distant, is accepting my dad for who he is. So not every single dad is built to be a dad and has all those things, but I learned to just look at the good things about him and the positive things about him. So even though he didn't take the big father role when it would have been great if he was around when I was a kid, later in life I just learned to accept some people. That's just the way they are, and I accept him for who he was. I love him for who he is, and it was able for me to get rid of all the anger and the hurt that I held on to as a child, thinking, you know, where were you and this and that. So I think maybe that's something that people can use that are in a similar situation with a parent, where they maybe have an expectation of, I wish you were this, I wish you were that, and just kind of looking back and trying to just accept people for who they are, love them for who they are, and don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive and the love.
So Steve, not having a father growing up, what did you learn from that about being a father today?
It taught me how precious it is to have that time with my kids. I love being a parent. I love raising Jessica. I loved spending time with her, and like I mentioned, about going to the beach and just doing riding bikes and all that kind of stuff. So it just made me really appreciate being a father. And I know, I just feel that with my continued involvement that I picture, even when she's a grown woman, that we'll still be able to go down the beach and go paddleboard and do stuff together, because that's just the kind of guy I am. I try to make things easy going and fun, and that's just part of me. And I think she grew up with it, so I think hopefully that will never go away.
Jessica, how does that make you feel when you hear your dad say that he loves raising you?
Makes me feel glad, I guess.
Does it?
Because he didn't have a father that like really raised him, and I do. So.
You had something that you wanted to read for your father today. Do you want to do that?
Okay.
Nice and loud so everyone can hear it out there.
I wrote this for the Miracles for Family event, My Hero. So my dad is my hero because he is the most kind father I know. He's always loving, he cares about everyone, and he always cares about the environment. I love him more than words can describe. The Lord has given me the best father. He has always been an influence in my life, and he will always be. He's taught me everything I know. He's an amazing father and deserves everything. Jesus has blessed me and he deserves everything. He's always patient and follows God's word. I love him more than anything in the world, and he loves me more than anything in the world as well. He always has taught me to have a positive attitude, and that really helps me in life. My father should win the Best Father Award, and I'm the most lucky girl in the world to have Stephen as my dad. I will always be his little girl forever, and I'm very grateful for him. He'll always be my hero, and he is an angel sent from above. He is what God wants him to be, loving. My father deserves everything. That's
wow.
All.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 I'm glad I remember at the event that Maria had, she made me read that thing. So after the second sentence,
wow, that's kind of low.
You know, yeah. Breaking down, you know. So thank God she got Jessica to read it this time.
But see, let me give a kudos to Stephen for that, because the fact that he did that day, it just goes to show what a hero he is. On that day, Jessica was too nervous to read it in front of a big crowd, and Stephen just took the role of the hero that he is, and just took care of her. So to me, that goes to show again what a heroic man he is.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Steve.
Thank you, guys.
Michael, there's something that you wanted to read for your dad today.
Yes. This is also a paper I wrote for the My Hero contest. My dad is a hero. He is my role model because he displays such self-confidence in his life and everything he does. He never shies away from a challenge. He helps me when I feel that all else is lost. When I feel very deeply troubled, he is one that I turn to because I know that I can. He seems so firm and confident that he seems like a safe place to come to. Even though he is very self-confident, my dad is not self-centered. He always tries to put others before himself. That makes him even more of a hero to me. The older I get, the more I grow to appreciate these traits. Self-confidence and selflessness are difficult traits to achieve. That just makes me admire him all the more. I hope to be able to follow in his footsteps someday. My dad is my hero.
I love the way he reads. I love your voice.
I was going to say, I mean, for people who are listening that don't know, Michael's dad, BJ, is, are you a reverend? Or are you a minister? Are you a pastor? What's your title, BJ?
I'm all of those.
You're all of those. Anyways, as Michael was reading, I was thinking, oh, you're kind of designed to read from behind the pulpit there a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Maria, we have something special for our fathers today, because this is truly remarkable. I think it's one thing to be a father and to be in a family, but to be such a father that your children want to publicly come out and acknowledge and say, this is, I don't just have a dad, I have a great dad.
Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to do something to honor these two dads today.
Yes, I wanted each of this young adults to, if you could, Jessica, if you could give this to your dad and just honor him with being a hero.
Thank you so much.
We're passing out. So Steve has gotten the bronze medal for fatherhood today. Is that a bronze medal or a gold medal?
What?
It's the top medal.
It's the top medal.
In our studio.
All right.
Nice. Nice.
Right. Awesome. Michael.
Mm-hmm. You're my hero.
Aww.
Okay, that's a photo opportunity if I've ever seen that.
I was going to say, with two fathers in the studio here, Stephen and I tied for third, so.
There you go.
I don't know what to say about that. Okay, young people, what's going on in your lives today? What's the biggest challenge that you have that you need your dad's help with, where you're like, oh, dad, what am I going to do about this?
Okay, I guess I'll go. Probably school or something. I know it's summer right now, but it was my first year in private school, so I really wanted to be really good grades, because last year I didn't have the best grades. I really wanted to be higher than I thought I was, and I had really good, both parents, I had really good parents to help me get up there, but it's just good to have my dad to help me know that I can be better. I can, like, I'm higher than I think I am.
And what does dad do specifically, Jessica? I mean, other than, like, you can do it and be your biggest cheerleader. Does he, like, sit down and say, all right, we're going to crack this math book tonight and let's get on it? Or what does he do?
He'll, like, constantly, like, check my grades, because there's, like, a little thing which, like, will get, like, on the computer and make me go on a little website and have to check my grades, get whatever up, you know? So that's good to have that, a reminder to get that up.
Awesome. Michael, what's going on with you today that you...
Yeah, I agree. It's mostly school. I am not in summer yet. We have another week left. It's finals this coming week. And it's just really helpful to have my dad to teach me these important life lessons about learning to talk to my teachers when I have a problem, when I have a question, when I can't figure something out, when a grade's not what I want it to be. He had, from what I can tell, a really good relationship with his teachers, like in high school and college, and his professors. And he really helps me in teaching me how to talk to teachers and build a good relationship with them so I can do the best I can do in school.
So if you have a problem with a teacher or anyone else, your dad doesn't necessarily say, I'll go talk to your teacher. He says you have to have that relationship. And
yeah, he will often tell me, he will often give me good advice. He'll say, you know, you don't have to follow this, and I know you might not, but here's, you know, what I think you should do in this situation, and I think it would really be to your benefit.
What's the best advice your dad ever gave you?
Whenever you have a question, ask it. Never stay quiet and stay on the sidelines.
Nice.
Wow.
Jessica, what's the best advice you think your dad ever gave you?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
It was kind of obvious. You're right.
There's so many things. Probably to stay positive, even if there's like a negative side to it.
Okay. Maria, nice. What do you think of these families?
They're amazing. That's why they're here. Of all the families, you know, I do have a lot of great families, but these two teams, I mean, I'm just so impressed because I watch what they do, and I'm just so impressed. And another thing I wanted to add is that these two men here are not just the kids' heroes. They really are society's heroes and our community's heroes and our economy's heroes, because these two kids are going to grow up to be adults and be productive and whatnot, and the impact that they have is not just to their children, but to all of us as well.
Fantastic.
Maria, if other people are listening and want to benefit from Miracles for Families, can you give us quickly the website and how they would contact you?
Oh, sure. It's miraclesforfamilies.org.
Great.
And it's miracles, plural, F-O-R, and then families, plural. Thank Great. You.
Excellent. Maria, thanks for coming back.
Oh, thank you.
This was a lot of fun.
It is.
This is really good. Families, thank you so much for being here. Dads, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Scott, Don, anything you want to say before we go?
Happy Father's Day.
No, Scott says, no, we're done.
Can I say it was a great show?
That's Ida Mays.
And you had huge listener audience out there.
Awesome.
Woo-hoo! All right.
Awesome.
Yes. Dad's rock.
Do we have time for one more song?
We absolutely do.
Hey, this is a great Father's Day song. This is John Lennon, Beautiful Boy.
Oh, awesome. Aww. All right.